I'm going to get a workout in a little bit with my man Eric Linden, you know, stunt coordinator from The Punisher. He's coming all the way up because we're about to get after it. And when that's done, he asked me in the car, are you going to have my shake ready? And I know what that means. Am I going to have my Sun Warrior shake? They've got the active protein, but they also have this collagen protein, which is amazing. They also have the Warrior blend, which is a little bit lighter if you're trying to cut. And I believe in it. I believe in that Sun Warrior stuff. Go to www.sunwarrior/... Is that right? This is our URL, www.sunwarrior.com/realones for 15% off. I appreciate y'all.
In case you missed that from John, it's www.sunwarrior.com/realones. Or use the code REALONES anywhere on the Sun Warrior site for 15% off the best plant proteins on the planet.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's John, Bam Bam the Dog. First, on behalf of both of us and everybody from the Real Ones team, I just want to sincerely thank you guys for tuning in. The folks that I bring on the show, they're family to me, and being able to tell their stories and bringing you into their world is something I'm just super proud of, and again, grateful that you guys tune in. We've decided we want to take things just a step further. We're going to introduce a Patreon community, and basically what that means is if you become part of this community, look, I already bored Bam Bam. If you want to become a part of this community, you're going to be able to hear episodes early and all that, ad-free and all that good stuff. But there's all this behind-the-scenes footage, all this stuff that we've shot that really brings you into the folks that we've had on the show, really brings you into their world. You're going to be able to do live chats with me and the folks that I bring on the show to talk about their world, talk about the issues that they're dealing with, about their triumphs and their tragedies. Just go to Patreon/RealOnes. This whole idea was something about building bridges and bringing people together and bringing folks that often don't get the mic and giving the mic to them. So the fact that you guys tune in means the world. Anyways, again, thank you. Be good to each other out there. Rock and roll. You know, I love you, man.
Yeah,
I'm really grateful that you came up here, Norman.
Yeah, man.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And, I know it's a lot, and I know how busy you are, man. And I know, like, it's odd because, I think back on our friendship and our relationship, and just I think a lot of times I still feel like I'm kind of new to this whole thing, and I still kind of feel like
to what this thing.
You know, well, I'm very new to this shit, but just like being like an actor and being in like doing what we do, and I think there's always a sense for me of like. I think I got a deep sense of like kind of imposter syndrome. Like I feel like I don't really fucking belong, you know, and
everybody
I know
does.
There's like, but like, and I want to talk about that a little bit with you later, but there's something about just like Walking Dead. There's something about like what that was and what that fucking still is. Like you're still doing it. Like, you know, man, like I only did, I think like 18 episodes of that show. I was on it for like a very, very short time. But there's something about like the depth of the friendships that I made again 10 years ago before I was married, before I had kids. Like I had my first kid in season 2, got married right after season 1. I was a completely different like human being back then.
Mm-hmm.
But yet like I like you're like family to me.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Sarah is like family to me. You know, Steven and Melissa and Andy, and I mean everybody, and I'm just like wondering, like, what do you think that is, man? Like, what was it about? Because obviously I've done a lot of shows, I've gotten close with a lot of other people, and I'll just say, and I've had super fucking intense experiences with other actors and other artists, but like nobody, I've never had the depth of relationships like I've had with you guys, and I was on for a super short time. What do you think that is?
You know, it's wild because. I'm still doing this show, and I'm still talking about those days to everybody that'll listen. It, you know, we were all there supporting each other. We didn't know what this show was going to be. I think all of our agents told us not to do it, and it was something about it that we liked.
Yeah.
But there was this camaraderie between actors. It was, you know, you say like family and all that, but it's like, I mean, it was like blood brothers and sisters, like. You know, if someone had a heavy scene to do, you just kind of left them alone. It was so much respect, and there was this sort of cowboy attitude to get in there, and there's zombies, there's so many elements about it that are so comic book that if you didn't play it real, it never would have worked.
Yeah.
And everybody just played it so real, and everyone supported each other, and you know, it's wild being on the show so long because it's hard to explain that to the new people on the show. You know, they get a little bit of it, but it's not the same. You don't feel it. And plus to join a show that's already so big, you know, you're on set like 5 days and already making action figures of you, you know what I mean?
Right.
You go to these convention things and you already have this huge line. And, you know, I watched, you know, I was always hard on new people that came on the show, especially after you guys left, because it's just, it's not the same. I don't know. It just meant something different back then. None of us were really famous, you know. We cared about the job. We wanted it to be good. You know, we had Frank, you know, it was Frank fucking Darabont. It just felt so real and so good, you know, that I don't think those friendships will ever fade.
Yeah,
you know?
that is like absolute fucking fact. But I guess, like, I don't know, man. Like, even when I feel like when I went back, you know, 10 years later, whatever it is, just to do, you know, I was there for like a day and I got to, you know, I stayed with you out. And, but like,
I whip your ass at ping pong?
Well,
then,
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that. Did you beat me at?
Oh,
I was thinking about that on the way over because feel like I played all, I like.
Oh, no. I know. You told me you were an athlete.
You
I
definitely
beat, you
beat
ass.
Me.
I beat
did
your ass.
You? 100%. You're certain?
1,000%.
I do have a ping pong table at my house. We are definitely playing.
And I beat you, but let me just
did Andy beat me?
You,
that's very
strange,
by the way. Because like actors usually suck at fucking sports.
And I beat Andy.
Did you beat
right
Andy?
Before I beat you.
Yeah, but you were
and
like
then you came on set and you're like, all I want to talk about is I beat Andy. And I'm like, I beat both of you. Yeah.
All right, but like, look, but you were like a great, I mean, you were like a great tennis player.
But it's a little different.
Yeah,
it's,
I understand. A lot of time ago. Well, I just feel like for the most part, man, like actors are like horrible fucking athletes, like horrible.
Yeah.
And like you see them throw a ball, and it's like I like feel terrible. I'm like, what happened in your life, man? But like you and Andy both are actually like, you know, like you guys are like
Have you ever beat Andy at ping pong? I think maybe you might have beat him that trip.
I feel like I beat him at your house.
You might have.
Your house was a little bit. I feel like
but
you had.
He was in tears. He talked so much shit.
Yeah, he talked a lot of shit.
I thought he was going to drop dead.
But I remember he was like, he was just pretty like strange. Like he's British and shit. He was just like pretty strangely like athletic, which I found like very, very odd because I feel like most people. But I really felt like when I came back there, you know, that time, there was things that I recognized. Obviously, there was people that I recognized. And I don't know. It's like I look back at that time. Like,
what do you think about me still being on that show?
I can't believe it.
It's crazy.
It's
right?
it's like it really fucking warms my heart. Like when I think of you, like we lived in the same place, and I think of like when I think of like that drive from set through like just like the fucking rolling hill, like just beautiful fucking Georgia, and like how much that meant to me at that time. And it was just like such a beautiful time. I can say, man, it was like literally one of the best times of my life.
It still is. I realized it kind of hit me that the show was over from doing that drive and coming to my gate for the last time.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm never going to do that drive again through the woods that I take.
Yeah.
That's when it hit me. But it meant so much to me. And it worked so well with my life at the time.
Yeah.
You know, Diane loves it there.
Yeah.
My baby was born there. Like, it's such a bounce.
Does she love it there?
Loves it.
Loves it.
Has
loves
friends
Pina.
There.
Yeah.
And, you know, being in Manhattan all the time, Georgia was like my go-to place. Then I got my little Costa Rica place. So I had my little triangle that I do. Like, it was like a perfect lifestyle, you know?
Yeah.
Then the show ended. And then they, you know, I think AMC wants to branch off, you know, to other parts of the world to conquer. So somehow I ended up in France. So, but I wasn't going to say no to it because I was like, you're going to take my redneck character and drop him off in Paris?
See what the fuck's
like,
up, dude.
Boom. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's let's do that.
And I mean,
you know?
there's
drop
like,
me on Mars.
I think for like people, it's like this shit just like doesn't happen anymore. Like shows just don't do what this thing did. And there was like definitely something so fucking pure and different. I think humble. I think it was just such humble beginnings. And I look at like you specifically, man, and like you came in and it's like you were like just supposed to be in a couple episodes, you know? Yeah. And like, I mean, for so, like, you're like kind of like the soul of the whole thing, and you became, it's just kind of like unprecedented, and I'm just like wondering, like, where were you at when you first came on the show? Like, what, who was Normie back then, and like, what did it start to mean to you? Like, just like take me through that a little bit.
Well, you know, so I was living in LA before that, and I do jobs here and there. I was doing a lot of artwork, stuff like that. I met Helena. We had Mingus. She wanted to be closer to Denmark. We moved to New York, and you know, all my agents and stuff were like, no. It's over if you do this. And I did it anyway. And I kind of had a lull for a while. And it was my first pilot season, was going to LA. I was like, what's pilot season? Yeah. You know, you read all these scripts. And I'm still sort of artsy-fartsy, and I'm not really thinking career, you know? You know, a bit of a chip on my shoulder.
What was that chip?
I don't, you know, the chip actually helped me with Walking Dead tremendously.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah? Because, okay, so when I first got to Walking Dead, you guys had all been doing press for a long time. You guys were, like, already a tight family. The three of you and Darabont were already super tight.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was intimidating, like being a new guy on that show, because you guys had already been doing it for a bit. I didn't come until episode 3. You'd already done like Comic Cons and press junkets and the whole thing, photographs, your posters are up everywhere.
Is that true?
Yeah. I came in and I'm like, how the fuck am I going to fit in with these guys?
Yeah.
And then the first scene, you know, they gave me those lines. It's like, you poxy bat. I don't even know what poxy means. Yeah. I was like, well, how am I going to pull this off?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I go in there and I just kind of redneck my way through it. And then the second scene was that big one where you like beat the shit out of me and I throw the squirrels at Andy and they fucking hand me a string of squirrels. And I'm like, you want this? Yeah. You want another? Like, what am I doing? Yeah. I have no idea. Yeah. You guys are all buddies. I know you guys are talking about me. I can feel it. We do that first scene where, I see my brother's on, he says my brother's on a roof. And I didn't know how I was gonna play that scene. I had no fucking idea. And I'm walking away and I hear that and I turn around and I see all of you staring at me. Like, what's the new kid gonna do? And I immediately felt, you know what, fuck you. You don't like me, I don't like you. Although I did.
Yeah.
But I was like, this, you know, not as the people, but as the characters.
Sure.
I was like, you hate me, I hate you. And I slowly kind of turned that character and so, like, everything I said was kind of like this. I kind of fucking didn't look you in the face, da 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 da. And then as the seasons progressed, I slowly started to square up and look you in the face and mean what I say. And a lot of when that turn happened was when you and Steven and Andy started doing stuff like this. Like, there'd be a dead body on the ground. And it used to be you guys would all look at each other. And then after a while, you guys would look at each other and then look at me, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm in.
Huh.
And that's my character started becoming more of part of the group.
What about just like you?
That insecurity helped me sort of find what I wanted to do.
And do you feel like that kind of insecurity or that kind of sensitivity, was that like where you were?
In real life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How so?
Well, I was, you know, I was dating this girl, Jara. I was totally into her. She lived out in Brooklyn. And, you know, I was trying to make, I was trying to do art shows. I had an art gallery on Kinmare and Bowery where me and my friends would put on art shows, sell artwork. We had a whole building, we had a 5-story building right on the corner and right on the Bowery. And it was called Collective Hardware. And so the ground floor was a gallery. Then above that, we had different painting studios, glass working. We had people doing welding. Below that, we had a creature effects shop. And called Ill Willed, and they used to make like saber-toothed tigers for the Discovery Channel and shit. Like, we had a fully working art space station, but we were struggling to keep it alive, right?
And can you just tell a little bit about like what New York was like? I'll get into that too, but like, take me through like what that was like. Like, where, like, what were you? I mean, you guys were like maniacs.
I was living in Chinatown.
Yeah.
We were all fucking maniacs. Yeah. You know, we were riding our little BMX bikes around, like kicking taxis and just getting into trouble all the time. That Collective Hardware was in Page Six like every week.
Why so? Like, about what?
Parties. Yeah. Someone caught fire in the place. Yeah. Like, people would, it was just debaucherous. But it was working, right? Until it wasn't working.
Yeah.
And then everything just sort of becomes a cocaine den in New York after a while.
Of course.
you just can't help it. Right. It's just, you know, and I went away doing, I did Blade 2 with Guillermo in Prague, and the place just fizzled into nothing while I was, and I was there for 6 months, and it just, you know, I came back one visit, and there was like people sleeping on the floor, and I'm like, what the fuck is this, you know? Anyway, you know, I was living in Chinatown, Mingus in a single sort of basketball court-sized loft in Chinatown, and I'm, you know, just struggling to make it work. And then, you know, I did the, I went to LA, they talked me to doing pilot season. I'm like, buddy, buddy, cop show, roommate show, doctor show, buddy, buddy, cop show, roommate show, yeah. cop show. Yeah. And I finally get to Walking Dead and I'm like, oh, this one's, and they're like, no, you know? I'm like, this is the only one I'd actually watch, you know? And and Mad Men, Breaking Bad, AMC had those shows, yeah, Gail Leonard, Frank Darabont, didn't know any of the actors, didn't care, except Rooker. I knew Rooker because Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Yeah.
So anyway, I finally, you know, I did that audition, nothing really came of it. Went to New York, did it a couple more times, and then Frank wrote that part for me. And I was in. You know, it was crazy because, you know, I was trying to be an actor, but I was also into the art thing, and you know, sometimes those do go hand in hand, and sometimes those don't go hand in hand. Well, I mean, I get more art shows now. It's less of a struggle for me to get an art show now because I'm on a television show. Back then, I did a lot of art shows, but you know, I was putting them on the wall myself. No one was printing things for me. I was hustling. And even when I did that in LA, like, you couldn't get people to go to an art show in LA back then unless, you know, you had an open bar and a band play. Nobody would do it, you know? And in New York, there's still sort of a more of a crowd for that. But, you know, there's them and then there's us. And we were all hustlers, you know? So, you know, I know that there's a difference, you know?
What is it you love most about Georgia?
You know, when I first got to Georgia, like, I'd stop at a gas station to get smokes or something, and they'd be like, how's your day? Looks like we might have rain here. And I'm like, why are we talking? Just hand me the cigarettes. Yeah. Like, I gotta go, right? And that turned into me. How's your day? How's it going? Georgia taught me that.
Wow, wow.
You know?
That's beautiful.
I became a listener when I went there. In New York, I was just a talker, I felt, you know? But in Georgia, everything mattered. You know, nature was beautiful. I appreciated not having the traffic where we were, you know, like everything just, time went slower there, you know? And I really appreciate, I hate to ever let that go. I try to bring that with me when I go to other places now, but you know, you're right, it made me a better father, made me a better friend, it gave me a work ethic that I didn't have before.
And do you think do you think like how much of that was like, for me, that crew, like from the beginning, like the crew on Walking Dead, that's the best crew. Like
ever.
They were like fucking pirates. Like they were really fucking pirates. And I feel like Atlanta and like Georgia in general was not the hub that it is now. Like there was only like a few things, if that. I mean, we were kind of like the first.
We were before the Marvel, everything.
Before all that shit. Yeah. And you know, man, I don't know if I ever, you know, I was so like kind of brokenhearted when I left the show for so many reasons. Mostly I was like leaving everybody. Yeah. But I never like said this, but I really wanted to do a thing like at a rap party where I really wanted every year there to be this, I forget what it was. I think it was like a skull, but I wanted there to be like an award for like the person who most embodies the soul and the spirit of like what that show was.
Right.
And I thought like it was something I love me some me. I don't mind attention, whatever the fuck. But I think like when I got killed off the show, I immediately was like, all right, dude, this ain't.
I'm curious about that.
Well, I'll tell you about it. But like for me, I had this whole like grand idea of like, this is what I'm bestowing upon like this award every year, you know? And when I think about some of the people from that crew, they have every bit as much responsibility for that show being what
without
it is.
100%.
Than any actor or any writer.
Without a
so I'm
doubt.
Just wondering like, who are some MVPs that you would give and tell me why and explain to everybody who the fuck they are.
Okay, Deej would be probably number one to me. So how I met Deej for the first time and became really good friends with him, we were shooting an episode in Atlanta. It's me and Melissa in the car and we're tracking down Beth, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this new director, and he's all cool. He's got like dreadlocks, and he's like new guy, and he's like, you know, and I can't really figure this guy out, right? And we do like one of the first shots we do. She and I are in a car, and we're watching something. And he goes, "Okay, moving on." And I was like, wait, the car was on the right, or the car, I, you know, I'm like, can I do that again? Because I, you didn't tell me where to look, right, or whatever the fuck. And he goes, "Nope, sorry, brother.
The shitbag just wanted to go."
Yeah, we don't have time, brother. And fucking Deej looks at me and winks, and he goes, "Hair in the gate." And I was like, "I fucking love you."
Yeah, man.
Just gave me another take. He would be one.
Can you explain him, like what he, because like what he looks like, yeah, what he sounds like explain
he talks like this. Yeah. He's
a big,
he's about
6'6"
and yeah, he's got white hair and he's a country man, and he's like, he's the type of guy that, like, there's a snake on the ground, he'll grab the snake and be like, ah.
Yeah,
he's like a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas,
constantly smoking fucking cigarettes. Yeah. And also that crew, like, we, like, there was the Roadhouse. I don't know if shit, I'm sure shit changed,
that's still,
but there was
there,
like, nothing out there, man. Yeah, it was the country, but there was that fucking country bar.
Yeah.
And we would all go there, and it was like insanity.
Yeah. Tay Tay would be one.
Fucking Tay Tay, dude. That's my
Tay Tay.
Yeah.
Honey, you're a trip.
Yeah.
Tay Tay.
Can you explain Tay Tay?
Not that her yelling at me. Yeah.
I'll just say about Taylor Knight, man. Like, she, you know, she's a fucking Georgia woman through and through, you know,
and the
fucking best. And you know, she, one thing that I know she always did was, you know, she always gave, you know, young dudes who were like fucking at risk as a motherfucker, like motherfuckers who were like going through, she'd give them a shot, and she would like hold them account, you know, to come apprentice and like work for her, which was fucking, and then like a lot of them have gone on and had like big careers in that, you know, because it's fucking, you know, it's an industry.
I think it was Prince Vince is working on a Jeffrey's spinoff right now.
I bet he's in
New York.
The soul of that crew fit the soul of that show perfectly, and kind of.
I felt like we were all newbies in a way.
Totally.
And if we didn't turn it into something, it wasn't going to become something.
That's right.
You know, and everybody collectively made it something special. You know, we all cared about each other so much that when things happened to each other on the show, we really felt bad for the real person. You know, we were so tight. And I don't think it's impossible to go in and meet somebody and, you know, for a month and get that far. Like, it's just unless you know them beforehand. But there was something about that show that it was magic. It was lightning in a bottle.
Yep.
Lightning in a bottle.
Yep. You know, and at that time, you know, I was dealing with that lawsuit, you know.
I remember that.
And you really were there for me on that, man, because you kind of like introduced me to like the whole kind of like Comic-Con thing and like what that was. And it's interesting, man, because, you know, I wanted to talk to you about that because it's such a, you know, that has become such a like kind of part of my life, and I really felt that like when it was announced that I was gonna play Punisher, I got all this love from like the comic book community, and I know that is because like for years I was fucking out there, and I was like going around the country, really being with these folks, and like I've had like profoundly amazing experience, like profound connection to the people out there, and it's like this day and age, that like doesn't exist. Everything is separated through a fucking computer monitor. Everything is like, you know, what do you feel like they've meant to you?
I'll admit I was a little bit of a hustler when they first started, because, you know, they're killing people on our show left and right. We're all getting scripts going, who's going next? And I saw those things as a way to get some love from out there and solidify my, and that's how it started.
Wow, man.
Kind of selfishly.
Wow.
And then it changed. And then I actually met people. I saw so many people that were like, "Oh, I'm going, you know, I'm going through chemo. I'm watching your show. Mm-hmm. Your character, you know, fights for who he believes in. He's abused." You know, there was so much of that.
I watched this with my father before he died. Like, this is what
all
we've
the time.
Today. Yeah.
And then I started doing stuff with Make-A-Wish. And then I started, you know, they would say, "Hey, you know, this kid's not gonna make it. Can you send him a video?" You know, and I'm like, "Well, where is he?" And he's in Philadelphia. And I'm like, I have Friday off.
Let's go.
And I'll just go there. I just started doing things like that. And, you know, I'm not really good at faking things. And when you go to a thing like that, and everyone's like, "Yay!" I, you know, I'm not a come celebrate me guy, totally. You know. But if you guys like it, I'll celebrate you guys for liking sure. it,
yep.
you know.
Yep. Yep.
And those events, I started to make friends with people, you know. And
I've like totally seen that.
Yeah. And a lot of those people, you know, were people that were down on their luck or they were fighting through things, and they were, you know, real heroic in my eyes. And I started to get to the point where I really liked, they changed me, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Basically, I was generally happy to see them. And my only regret during those things is I didn't get to see everybody, you know, and you know, you've seen like, the lights would go off in the place. Everyone would go home, and I'd still be there with one light over my table
till
midnight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And there's something about I feel like the fans of that that show specifically, man, where like I really do feel like we're kind of like we're all in it together. And those same people have come like into my, they've like all supported me. They've stayed with me like through the years with all these other things that I've done.
You're a loved guy.
We spent those, you know, two seasons or whatever, you know what I mean? And like, we're buddies, we're close. Like we were friends. I think like there was one time, I can't remember what year it was, but like we went out in New York and me and you kind of like, we're like, oh, you're like for real. And yeah, then like, I remember like Steven had some trouble with the bouncer and I went like dealt with this guy or whatever. Oh, yeah. Like you and me and Scott, like out on the road, man.
Yeah.
And we had some like magical fucking times.
Oh, yeah.
Like magical fucking times. And like, I don't know, man. For me, like Scott is like, he is like legitimately a hero. Like he's like who
I loved Scott. Yeah.
Like talk about him a little bit, Scott Wilson.
First time I really did a scene with Scott. But Scott used to sneak into my trailer all the time, and he'd have a little flask, and he'd be like, "Shut the door," you know. I'd be like, "Get in here." But he and I became really really good friends. I just loved Scott, you know. I think because I didn't know my dad as much as I'd have liked to. When I find guys that I really respect of that age, I stick to them. I did it with Kris Kristofferson. Like I stick to them. And I'm like, I don't know what it is. And I just love them. And Scott was so open. He was so honest. Last time I saw Scott was at his house. We were all at his house. And we were watching his In Cold Blood audition. Yeah, yeah. And he's sitting there next to me and he can't speak very well, and we're sitting there watching, the room's totally quiet, and I looked over at him, and he looked over at me, and I go, "You're such a fucking asshole," and he just starts laughing, you know, and I regretted not being able to come to his funeral, and it was, he died right on the same day my daughter was born.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah, and I couldn't go, because we were in labor.
Dude, that's fucking heavy, I can't remember that now.
Yeah, crazy, right?
Wow.
And that's why I wasn't there.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I have so many Scott Wilsons.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and by the way, man, like that dude could like, I mean, you and me were like getting after it back then. And, like,
oh, yeah.
That dude fucking, I mean.
Crushed us.
It was like fucking like hot joke. It would be like 4 a.m, you and me would be like stumble. I mean, just so disgusting and shameful how we were. And we would be like stumbling back. And Scott would just be like, yeah, I'm going to go back. You know,
I'm
like.
I'm going to go get clam chowder down the street at the like,
totally
casino.
Totally fine. Yeah, yeah.
He was the best.
And I know like when Sarah was on, did you see that? You know, I had Sarah on this.
I did. Yeah.
Thing. And like, you know, I know we like when she and I talk, we talked a little bit about Frank and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Man. Like what's your thing on Frank? Like, how do you,
I didn't know Frank as well as you guys knew Frank.
Yeah.
I kind of came on, it was only 6 episodes, right? I came on number 3, you know? And Frank didn't have the conversations with, he was like in love with you and Andy and Sarah. You guys were the group. So I didn't know him as well as you knew him. I just met him, you know? And then, you know, you guys went to Comic-Con, I believe, and it was announced while he was at Comic-Con, some crazy like shady shit like that. I was bummed.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, I remember working with him and he was so in it. Like, I remember that at one point they were like, you need, you know, I'm crawling under a car and I jump up behind T-Dog and all this stuff happens. And the makeup artist, he was like, Norman needs more dirt. And she's like, no, that matches. And he goes, ugh. He picks up grease off the ground and just wipes it across my face. And I was like, oh my God, I love you so much, you know? And you remember back then, especially, all I wanted to be was filthy. So dirty.
Yeah.
I would steal the dirt, take it back to my room and apply more to it when they weren't looking. And they'd be like, you're so filthy. I was like, I want them to smell me into the television screen. I just loved it.
Yeah.
I'm a dude. But Frank to work with, he was so inspirational, and it's true what Sarah said about the scripts. We got 6 scripts right off the bat.
Less than a year before the show, I was like in jail. I was like, that show like saved my life. So for me, I was like, the fact that you gave me this shot was like I'd never had a big gig for me. So I was like, but you just got your fucking star on the Hollywood fucking Walk of Fame, man. You know, in the last second, you know, like I was gonna make the speech for you, you know what I mean? Which was like fucking crazy. And I called Sarah like the night before. I called everybody, but I called Sarah and I was like, man, like what should I say about Norman? And she's like, do you know what you said to me like at the end of season 1 about Norman? I was like, what? She were like, I think he's allergic to acting. He's allergic to bullshit. He's allergic to pretension. Because I used to say this thing about you where like your acting style was just like bursts of authentic, like I would be there like trying to like kill somebody, and then I would like look over and see the way that you were doing it, and it was just like so fucking real, you know? And it was like these bursts of just like absolute inarguable authentic moments, right? Like, are you aware of that? Do you feel like that?
No. I mean I guess there's certain things I don't give a fuck about. I got beat up too much as a kid, and I don't know. My first job, right? I was working at a motorcycle place in Venice, right? Called Dr. Carl's Hog Hospital, right? I got fired from that job, somehow ended up in a play. The play turned into a movie, and I didn't know what I was doing on the first movie, and my dad was dying, right? And there was a scene in the movie where, you know, he comes out in a wheelchair and he kind of stands up out of the wheelchair and he gives me a hug, and it's this big emotional moment. And the director was like, how do you want to prepare for this? And I go, well, like, what are my options? Like, what do you do? You know, I had no idea what I was doing. We talk for a second. He gives me a phone. I call my dad. He can barely talk on the phone. I hang up the phone. They come get me. And I just cried so much that one of the crew members said, you know, at lunch, we're in Maine, right? And everyone ate in a tent. He goes, you know, I didn't go to lunch. I went and took a little nap in my little room. And he said, nobody spoke. Like, that's how good that scene was. Everyone would just sat there and quiet. And I was like, oh, that's what this is. So I didn't learn to act, you know? I kind of learned as I got jobs. I think if it would have been the other way, if I'd have gone to acting school or something like that, I think it would be different. I think I feel like everything sort of works the way it's supposed to work, but.
But like, there's something about intentionality, right? Like, there's something about like, if you go to acting school, it's like, hey, I really want to do this. And a lot of people go to acting school. Right. They want to like be a star. They want to be an actor. They want to go be on stage. Like, you didn't. Like,
I'm still not sure I do.
Right. Tell me about that.
I like doing other things too, you know? And I think if I had to do a lot of the stuff I feel like you're told you have to do, especially in a place like this, I don't think it would hold my interest, you know? I think I'm very aware of time. I'm very aware of mortality. I'm very aware of wasting energy on things. And I don't want to waste any time. Which is probably why I do so much shit, you know? I wanna learn stuff, I wanna make real connections. The star is awesome. I can't believe I got a star in Hollywood, it's fucking insane. But will I talk about it again? Probably not, unless somebody brings it up. The acting thing, I'm still learning about it, which is, I think, what's holding my interest, you know? There's something about being on this TV show this long where people see me age in real time that I find kind of interesting. Yeah. I'm always looking for those friendships like we had starting that show. I'm always chasing that, you know? But it's not that I don't give a fuck, because I do give a fuck, but there's a lot of things I think that I don't give a fuck about it as well. I remember being in, I think it was junior high, and I'm at another new school, and I'm walking home down an alley, and there's this group on the side, and there's this group on the side, and there's a bunch of guys and a bunch of guys, and I'm walking down the middle, and it's some annual fight they have, and I'm walking down, and they go, "Stay." Which side are you fighting on? And I went, "Fuck you both." And I walked down, and they all beat me up, and they got along great after that. It was, you know, fuck you and fuck you. And I think I still kind of have that attitude.
100%.
You know what I mean? So,
like, where do you think that sense of, like, mortality and time, like, where do you think that comes from?
I think it comes from my dad dying. My mom used to sell coffins. Right? She called them eternal beds. So I went to a lot of funerals. I'm just aware of it. I'm aware of, like, you know, time goes really quick. I don't really bullshit very much, you know. I'm not good at small talk. I don't like to go out at night and put myself in situations. And you know, when I used to, like when you and I would go out, I was first one that was obliterated. And it's the only way that I could have small talk with people is I just get trashed. But then, you know, once it started working, once I had a little girl, I just kind of stopped it all.
You've always had a pretty big life outside of the country too. Like you travel, like, you know, your wife is from a different country. Like, you know, like how do you feel about that?
I don't like politicians at all. I don't like telling people what to do at all. I don't like being told what to do. It just seems like a big circus to me. It seems like we're all being fed, you can buy this ticket or you can buy this ticket, and it's a sports game. I'm not interested in the sport. I like real people. There's certain issues that really bother me, and I do lots for that, for those issues. But I don't really like either side right now. I'll be honest with you. And I will say, I do travel the world a lot. I do ride, I go to all these different countries. There's more similarities between people than there are differences.
100%.
Everybody's very similar. And the fears, the insecurities, what makes them happy are all the same shit. You know, I just went to the Colosseum in Rome, right? Have you ever been to that big gladiator?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I wanted to throw up, right? First you walk in and there's like this one room to the right, and it's got this long slit in the ground, two of them. That's the public toilet, right? And they used to share this, and this is kind of off topic, it's gross, but they used to share this brush on a stick, and they would pass it around and wipe their asses with it. And then they'd go upstairs and it would be full bloodshed, right? They would charge for the toilet, but not the bloodshed. That's where taxes came from, right? The bloodshed, the more blood, the better. And it wasn't like this, it was like this, jugular. And they yelled, jugular, jugular. It was sand so they could sweep up the blood. That to me is politics. And the taxes is, you know, it's a sport. It's just being fed a sport. I don't really want to see it, you know. There's some certain things that are said on this side that make me want to fucking throw up. Some things on that side that make me want to smash a window. But people in general are very similar. There's rednecks in fucking Japan. Everybody has similarities, man. And one of the things I like to do, and one of the things you'd even see at like a convention, the similarities. And I think one of the things Walking Dead did was it gave something for both sides, like you're saying, to root for.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
There's a lot of things in this country I don't like. Yeah. But I will say, being in France for the last 3 months.
Yeah, what has that been like?
I have not seen Fox versus CNN all day on television.
Right.
And I don't miss it. You know what I mean?
And do you feel like there's like less palpable tension on the streets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I feel like they're poking the bee's nest on both sides for their own thing. You know, I don't like what's going on with all the homelessness. There's a ton of stuff I don't like. I kind of wish there would be a new group.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ready for a new group.
Yeah.
You know, the cancel culture thing is this tornado starts and it turns into this bigger tornado, and there's all these people that don't really know what they're talking about or know that person, and they're doing this, kill him, off with his head, jugular, you know. Yeah. I saw the thing that you did with Shia, right? And I went, oh, you know, doing the Instagram, which I try not to look at ever. I'm just fucking over it, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking boring.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, it's John's thing. Like, and all of a sudden I was like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. I didn't even listen to, I just said, John, right?
It's my friend.
It's my friend. Yeah. Good, he's doing a thing.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, what? All these people are yelling at me. And I'm like, wait a second, you know?
But that so why are you yelling at me? Thing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but that becomes this thing. You know, like I told you, you know, man, I was telling you earlier, like with that Shia thing, I really got like my first dose of you know, some really like extreme, you know, anger, you know, like online. And it did, man, like it like I heard it, man, I felt it, like it, and if that interview, you know, awakened feelings in people or did something to like people who have been victims before, like I hate that, you know, and like I like would never want to do anything that would like, you know, cause pain to any, like, and I know that it's like, man, and like, I think me and you like go into this whole thing being like so fucking grateful, understand how lucky we are and like how righteous this can be. And this was different because he's genuinely a friend of mine. And like, to me, like the antithesis of being a friend is to run away. Like if they fuck up, you need to hold them accountable. Like you need to deal with it. Like you need to make sure they're on a path. You know, you don't ignore them. You don't walk away. And I wish there was more energy out there the way that people would do in person rather than being separated from a computer screen. I just, I think in real life, that's what we do. And I just think there's like not enough of that. You know what I mean?
There's really something about being behind a computer screen that there's a bullying thing that is way out of control. For I'm sure. not into bullying, you know.
For as much of like, the stuff that like I got back that like what was like really like painful to read or whatever, you know, like there's also a lot of people reach out being like, man, I was shy and like that really did a lot, or like, hey, that's made me rethink things. And I think like you gotta read and you gotta process it all. And it's you know, that part is super complicated.
Yeah.
You know? It's super complicated. I know like tennis came in there at some point.
Yeah,
but, like,
yeah.
Like where did that go and like how did that go into modeling?
Well, the modeling thing, I did a Prada campaign. So That happened because I got a, I mean, look at me. I don't look like a model, but the, you look like a model. Oh, yeah. But how that happens, I did a movie called Six Ways to Sunday, and Ellen Von Unworth, Annie Leibovitz, that photographer, she came to set and took photos of us. She knew the director. And then she had dinner with Miuccia Prada. And at that time, there was a series of actors, like Joaquin did it, Tim Roth did it, John Malkovich did it, Willem Dafoe did it. And Miuccia said, oh, I'm looking for another actor to do this thing. She goes, oh, I shot this kid today. And then my manager at the time said, it's between you and Nicolas Cage to do a Prada campaign. And I was like, well, what's Prada?
But you were like just starting out?
Yeah, I'd done like two movies. This was like, called Six Ways to Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just coincidence.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he said, well, if you do it, it's between you and Nicolas Cage. If you do it, they'll give you Prada and they'll send you to Paris to shoot it. And I was like, never been to Paris. And I'm living downtown with those guys I was telling you about. We all kind of shared the same suit and, you know. So I got it and they sent me there and I did it. But that was it, you know. It was great. I fucking loved it. Coincidentally, at the hotel I'm staying at, I ran into the director of that film.
Wow.
And then the day before, I ran into the photographer who shot that campaign.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, Glenn Lutchford and Adam Bernstein.
Like, how did you get into photography? Was it like, were you already shooting photos like that?
Yeah, I did that in high school. It was a class in high school. I developed my own film and, you know, made my own prints, did all that stuff myself and, you know, you basically go to like a cemetery and shoot moody photos for class assignments. You know, that's how you kind of get started. And then I was painting and I was sculpting out of rock and metal and wood. And as I started working more in films, it became more photography because I was traveling and going to cool places. You know, a lot of people say I make really grotesque things pretty, you know, and it's come, I have a couple of photography books that are out. I do a lot of photography shows. I've done Sotheby's. I just did Arles in the south of France. I have another one in Paris in November. And the art gallery, you know, I did a lot of shows back then. So they all say that about my photography. It's it's grotesque, but you make it really beautiful.
Do you think you do that in acting?
Maybe. Maybe a little bit. Or, not consciously, but maybe.
Not consciously.
I didn't know I was doing it with photography, but it just comes up a lot.
Yeah, or maybe that's just like what's beautiful to you.
Maybe, yeah. I like things a little.
Yeah, yeah. You know. You said the other day that what you're most proud of is Mingus.
Yeah.
It was such a fucking trip for me to see him, man. And I think like he seems to be like doing so well.
Yeah.
And he seems to be like really happy.
His generation and his friends, I've all gone through like a depression, you know, because of all this stuff. He's had a rough time lately. So it was important for me to tell him that at that event, because it's true.
Yeah.
And I wanted him to hear it. And there's a bit of guilt with me with having doing Walking Dead for 10 years while, you know, racing back to New York every Friday. And, I'm trying to teach him a work ethic and I'm working, but I'm trying to get back and see him at the same time. So, you know, I know with my daughter, I don't want to do that. I don't want her to be away from me ever, you know? So it was nice to have him there. It was nice to say those things out loud.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, and do you think
he's
that,
such
like,
a good kid?
Such a good kid, man. Yeah. And it was great. Like the last time I saw him was like I said, he was like 10 years old, and you asked me like try to convince him to do his homework. It was like so, but like you know, like
he's a little hustler too. Yeah,
straight
he's a little
up, New York man. Kid. But like I don't know, man. Like I love that. There's something about I don't know. I talk about it all the time, but I look at like my kids and like looking at the way that they grow up, and I feel like a big part of my job is like putting a little bit of adversity into their lives because they've got it like pretty fucking good, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I got a little bit of that, you know, like I think especially with my oldest, you know, like I was, you know, I got busy, you know, right at the time I started having kids and I started getting like really serious about work and I missed a lot. You know, but like, do you feel like that served him? Do you feel like that served him?
I don't know. I know he's proud of what I do and I know he's proud of me. And he knows I'm proud of him, but you know, he was funny as a young kid. He was like, I don't want to be famous. I don't want to fuck up my life. You know, literally said that to me when he was like six.
Because what you feel like he saw it. He saw it just from a different lens.
Yeah. I mean, his mom's famous. There's people always outside when you're walking down the sidewalk. You go to a school and the teachers are like, oh my God, I saw last night's episode. And I'm like, how's my son? Like, yeah. Oh my God, last night when that happened, and I'm like, how's my son in this class? You know? You know, it gets a little confusing to him, I think. But, you know, he's artistic. He wants to do artistic things. But I don't, you know, I think he's kind of thrust into the spotlight a little bit when he didn't ask for it. So I think he's kind of dealing with it. You know, as far as like, you know, when Facebook started, he kept getting kicked off Facebook because fake people would kick him off and try to pretend to be him. There were certain times where fans of the show would try to get at him to get at me. You know, how do you get at Norman? You hurt his son, you know? And that was a thing. I had to surround him with people that were watching him because I didn't want him to get hurt. Like, you know, there was a lot of weird things going on that he was a little too young to have to deal with.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So he's got a mixed bag of emotions about all of it.
I've always had a thing for that kid. I just
he likes you a ton.
He's just a super special kid, and like I was like, man, I was just so happy to see him.
He's
and then
nuts.
Like I'm like, what do you want to do, Mingus? Like, what do you? He's like, you know, I want to do this. And I was like, what do you? He's like, I play like a fucking like I do a lot of coding, like play a lot of fucking video games and shit. Mm. And my son's like loves fucking video games. You know, I'm like that asshole, like because I don't know how to like turn on a PS5 or whatever the fuck it is. I'm like, fuck that. Like video games are bad. Like they're terrible. You know what I mean? And then my kid like looked at that, and I was like, oh, fuck, man. Maybe I should just let him fucking play video games. Stop being a fucking asshole all the time.
You know, his, you know, there was a, you know, when those, he's at that age when, you know, should he play or not should he play? And I was like, yeah, go ahead, play. And then he just got over it.
Yeah,
it wasn't an obsessive thing anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and then his friends would come over who weren't allowed to play. And they'd be like, what are you playing? You know, and he'd be like, oh, guys, can we go outside?
Yeah.
It just kind of had a reverse effect on him.
Yeah, you know? It seemed to me like he was super passionate and like and driven, but not in a in a very like comfortable kind of. Honestly, man, in like very similar to the way you are, man.
Terrifying.
It's like very comfortable, very like you know like nothing boastful or like. But yeah, I mean, he told me he had like put some. He's like already had music on the show. I'm like, fuck, dude.
Yeah,
like,
he went to France and worked with Howie B. He was an old friend of mine, music producer, and made an album with like Ry Cooter and shit. Like he's
he knows everybody. Like he was like naming all these that like he knows like all these different kinds of music. Yeah.
He knows a lot of people.
Yeah, it's fucking cool, man. I know you and me like we were like used to be like obsessed with fucking Howard Stern, you know, back in the day, like driving to work and shit.
We used to talk about him. What did he say today?
What did he say? All the time. Like him talking about, like, he was like, he like loved the show early on, dude. And it was like the biggest fucking deal in the world. But I think, like, that's what I, like, when I did his show, that's what, like, I was like,
he still won't have me on his show.
Dude, I don't know why. I think it's because, like, his wife's, like, in love with you, man.
That's not it. Okay.
He's talked about that a bunch, bro.
And, like, you know, I guess this is what happened, right?
I sat next to her at a fucking thing. I was like, Normie, what are you fucking?
I didn't. Because you don't look at yourself that way.
Like, I know you for you. You're like, fucking. Norman, but like, but they did, women like love you.
I didn't
and
say,
shit,
oh my
bro.
God, that's Beth. I'm gonna sit next to Beth.
But you're I'm probably in a happy super nice to her. And like, I think it was like, you
I'm
know.
A cat fanatic. They sat next to us. We talked about cats maybe 3 minutes. Then the movie started. Nice to meet you.
He talked about that for like 2 hours, bro.
I was in tears. I was so bummed.
He'll have you on. Man.
He went from like loving me or loving the show, rather, and maybe the character a bit to like, he went off, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, no. And then you know, I did the serious round and on serious radio. And, you know, it's like fucking an ungodly early morning hour.
It's terrible.
And they're, you know, they're like, so, can you say, Norman Reedus, and you're listening to the Howard Stern Show? And I'm like, hey, I'm Norman Reedus. You know, half awake. And then he played that and he goes, sounds like they got a fucking gun to his head. And I was like, I just can't win with this guy. Like, what's up? Yeah. I have a creepy little voice. It's super early in the morning.
But
yeah, I was so bummed. I was like, no. And then we had an episode of the show that was like very dark.
Yeah.
You know,
I heard him talk about that. He's like, the picture was like, dark. I couldn't see anything.
And I was like, no. And then I told Gimple, I was like, dude, send him screeners before the show comes out.
Yeah.
So he'll talk about us. He's got like a bazillion listeners.
Yeah.
He's a fan of the show.
It's fucking Howard, man.
Send it to him. Scott's like, of course I will.
Yeah.
Didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, and Wolfie every once in a while I'd check in. Did he get him?
Yeah.
Didn't get him.
We ran into him like somewhere, right? Like we ran and we were like telling him.
And I ran into Baba Booey at the White House.
Wow. What was that?
At the
White House Correspondents.
Yeah. And we talked for a second. And, you know, and then my publicist, I was like, oh yeah, I spoke to Baba Booey. And Howard does not want you on his show. Why? Just doesn't want him on the show. I'm like, oh, dude, you know, I was like, all right, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that was fun going back and forth going, did he listen?
Yeah. But I look at him, man, and I look at like, just like where he was. Like,
we would be so stoked.
Ah.
We would be like, did you hear what he said?
It was amazing, bro. It was amazing. And we got Andy fucking listening, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And then he had Jeffrey Dean Morgan on the show.
He did have him.
Everybody but me.
That is fucked up, bro.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about like how I was in Sirius that time and I heard it was like the day after I died on Walking Dead?
No.
That's it. So like right after I got killed from like got me the fuck out of there and I had to like go do press and I was in the Sirius building making the rounds, you know, hanging, and everybody there knew how big of a fucking fan I was.
Yeah.
And I'm like hanging around like doing like the fucking bullshit shows with like six people fucking, you know, it's like you know, I was downstairs. I was with like the serious rep, and all of a sudden, like Howard and fucking Ronnie walk out of their studio, and they're like walking by, and I'm like, holy fuck! And the guy's like, oh, there's Howard. I was like, I know, motherfucker. It's like just shut up. And he's like walking fucking by, and as they got closer, I heard them, and Howard's like, so I don't understand, like, why did they kill, like, was he always a zombie, or, like, how did he turn into a zombie that quick? They were fucking talking about me, bro, and Ronnie was, like, trying to explain to him what the show, and the guy's like, yo, they're fucking talking about you, I'm like, I know, man, just shut the fuck up, and let me enjoy this shit, and they're, like, walking by, and they're, like, they're fucking talking about me, and they, like, walk right by me, and the guy's like, you should say something, and you know, it's like, you never fucking bother Howard in the halls, like, he always says that, like, there's nothing he hates more. I'm like, just let him fucking be, like, let me have this fucking moment, you fucking turd. And he, like, keeps walking, and they're talking about me, and then the guy, the serious rep, is like, hey, Howard, and, like, he just stops, you know, he's like a giant, you know what I mean, he, like, stops, and he, like, fucking turns around, and he's, like, looking around, and then the fucking guy doesn't say anything.
No.
He doesn't say anything. So he's like looking, and I'd like walk over to Howard, and I'm like, you know, like I got to do this. I'm like, hey, hi, Mr. Stern. My name's John Bernthal. I think you guys were just talking about it. He's like, oh my God, we were just talking about you. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I know, man. I heard you. And yeah, he was like, oh, you're great. You know, I watched the show. And I was like, yeah, no, I know. I heard that. Yeah. And he was like so fucking nice to me. Like all he wanted to know was like, did I have another job? Like, but you know, I was like, dude, it's over. Like this was, I thought for sure it was like, that was it, man. Like it was all coming to a fight. Like it was like, and I was fine with it. I was like, dude, it was great. You know what I mean? But he was super fucking cool. My brother just got remarried. I think there's something really like beautiful about people who like kind of go about it, like go into it where they're like a little bit wiser. They're a little bit, they need a little bit less. There's something really pure, and it's like a real, it's a clearer like kind of choice. And I'm just wondering, what that feels like and what that is for you and what this is like.
Yeah. I mean, we met on a movie, right? We did a movie. As soon as I met her on the movie, I was like, it's on.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like, I'm like, I'm done. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
And it was just hot and heavy right off the bat. And she's been great. And, you know, our daughter's great. Our life is great. We really appreciate everything we have. We don't take anything for granted. She's got a work ethic, like I have a work ethic. We try not to step on each other's toes with the work, but support each other at the same time. You know, she's my ride or die right now. Okay. She's like, she's the thing, you know?
And are you guys like artistic? Like, I just want, cause you know, my, like Aaron, she's like,
we don't like the same music.
Yeah. But, don't like, the but same, what about like, yeah. what about like, do you like bounce shit off of her? Like, do you guys?
Yeah. Certain things.
Yeah.
Not everything.
Yeah.
You know?
My wife has like literally zero idea. Like literally, like the only thing she knows is like I'm talking to you today because she loves you. Like because like you're her friend. Not gonna like she gives two fucks that you've ever. You know, like my like.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what that's like to be with an artist. Like, but she's like an incredible. I mean, she's incredible. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's you know it, we understand each other. I think a lot of the relationships I had before this, they didn't understand the schedule. They didn't understand what goes with it.
Totally.
So there was like jealousy. There was like. Anger because you're away or whatever. She gets it. She understands there's a press junket. She understands you had to kiss somebody. She understands.
Totally.
And she gets it. You know what I mean? Like, totally. You know, so it's not as weird.
Yeah.
You know, I respect what she does. She respects what I do. So there's that sort of, we bounce that off each other. You know, she's very into fashion. She looks a mess, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Our musical tastes are completely different.
Yeah.
You know, we both like ramen.
Yeah.
There's some things in there, you know. I think when my friends met her, they were like, are you kidding? Like, no.
Yeah.
And then her friends met me and they were like, seriously? Yeah. You know, like, I think it went both ways.
Now
all our friends are friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What like worries you these days, man? Like, what are you worried about, if anything?
What am I worried about? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not really worried about anything. I want to see certain things happen with my kids, with my family. I don't know. Maybe there's not enough time, you know? Maybe I'm taking on too much. I want to get it all done.
Yeah.
I'm not going to finish.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of, there's been a lot of firsts in the last couple of years.
Like?
I wrote a book. It's a New York Times bestseller. Yeah. Like, you know. I started a production company. Yeah. We've got all these great projects.
Fucking restaurants.
I've got restaurants.
I mean, normally it's like pretty nuts, dude. Yeah. It's like pretty nuts. And I guess like there's like this thing. It's
I have a whiskey coming out.
Yeah.
Like all sorts of weird things.
And like it seems, I mean, like from where I sit, I mean, like, you know, as like, you know, as like somebody who loves you and is like your friend, it seems like kind of, I mean, I don't want to like fucking fuck with your shit, but it seems like fucking everything, it seems like everything you fuck with like kind of like works out.
You know, my dad used to say to me, he goes, if money can fix your problems, you really don't have problems. You know, there's people with like one leg. That guy has a problem. You know, someone with cancer, they got a problem. You know, but if money can fix your problem, you really don't have a problem. So, I've been broke. I know what that's like. I know how to do it. You know, I've been homeless. I know how to do that. You know, I've done a lot of things. It's weird to get a star on Hollywood Boulevard, and I'm like, I used to sleep in a truck down the street.
Straight up.
Wasn't my truck, and they didn't know I was in it. You know what I mean? Yeah. But a good friend of mine is like, Norman, you need to stop and smell the roses. Yeah. I want to stop and smell the roses more. If I was going to do anything differently or change a frequency here or there, I'd stop and smell the roses a little bit more.
And what do you think stop? What is like enjoy, the voice that stops you doing that? Too much to do?
The phone.
Fucking A.
Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? Can you do that? Like all day long. Yeah. You know.
Do you say no to a lot of shit?
Yeah.
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 And what's, is that hard?
No.
Obviously. No.
Not hard to say no. I just keep finding things I like to do.
Yeah. 5 years from now, what do you want to be doing? Or do you not even think about it?
I think doing what I'm doing now, just, you know, I'd be doing the same thing. I don't know that I'd change anything. Yeah. I might slow it down. Instead of working 12 months a year, maybe work 8.
Yeah.
And then hopefully work 4.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, when are you going to retire? I'm like, any minute.
Yeah.
Any minute. Just as soon as I figure it out.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything you want to ask me?
Yeah, I was curious. I was curious what it was like leaving the show. Were you nervous to jump out into the world? Because you were a big inspiration. You talked about a lot on the show between the cast members, because they're like, when this is over, what's gonna happen? John's killing it. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, you and Steven's killing it. You know, like, both of you did such a good job, you know, after the show of branching out and doing other things.
I don't know, man. I think for me back then, you know, because like right off the jump, it was like, I didn't know whether I was like dying, you know, in the first season. I didn't know if it was dying.
I liked your ending better, the one that you came up
remember
with.
Remember that shit? Way remember better. How like, but, and that was the other thing. Like, I fucked around and like spent my last week there all butthurt and pissed off because like they didn't change. You know, like I like going in.
But you
like
were right.
I was definitely right, and I think like I it was a better artistic choice. It was like, but also it's like nothing reeks of like, I think like mental unhealth, and like I clearly was just really sad to go, and I think that like ultimately what it was is like, yeah, man, I think there was a lot of like at that time in my life there was a lot of like. Not woe is, but like, of course, like this finally, like you finally get on a show, like things finally, you finally get to play a part that sort of shows what you can do, and you get killed off, and you finally get to go on that show what you can do, and the show is fucking massive, and you're fucking, and so like, I think there was a lot of that, but the thing that without a doubt, like really hurt and like made me sad was leaving you guys. Like, that's what it was. Like, 100%. It was, like, these relationships. And, like, those were some of the happiest days of my life, without a doubt. Like, I had, like, you know, I had, like, just, like, put my foot in the, like, foot in the water of, like...
I moved to that area because you live there.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like, it was fucking heaven on earth. And I had, like, my wife there and my brand new baby there. And I, like, wasn't drinking. And I was, like... You know, for the first time in my life, like I was working on something not only that was so, just so fucking fulfilling, but like, dude, like those lunches, like I have a picture in my house of like you remember do you guys still like eating that lunchbox? You guys probably now
no.
like eating like a fucking blimp that's like
it's like a whole thing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's a show.
So like we had like a fucking like lunchbox, like a portable place where you'd like eat like it was like you know.
I know what picture you're talking about. Rooker's in it too.
And it's like the four of us and like my baby's there. I think it was on Halloween and my son's one and he's like in a skeleton thing and like I think you're holding him and Steven's there, me and Andy. And
do you remember when you had your son pee on my car?
Oh yeah, dude. I got that picture at my house, bro.
Yeah.
So good. On your Porsche, bro. Yeah. Like, buck naked. Yeah. My wife like made me like take that. It was like the featured piece of art in our home for so long. I was like, you know whose car that is? But I don't know, man. I think that you remember Boss, right? You remember my dog Boss, right? So like I had this magical fucking dog. And magical. And like he and I like, you know, we crossed the country so many fucking times. Like we'd cross country no leash. He was like, I mean, you know what kind of dog he is, but for people that didn't, fucking like literally like best dog that ever fucking lived. And during season one of The Walking Dead, you know, I had all that legal trouble and I'd gotten through sort of the criminal side of it, but I had to deal with the guy was suing me for like all this money that I didn't have. So in between season one and season two, I had just gotten married, totally changed my life. Aaron was pregnant and I was doing this play, Small Engine Repair.
Yeah,
I remember. I remember. And fucking Boss and Venice were like backstage every night. We did this teeny little play because I couldn't leave LA because I had to be in court. I had to be in depositions every day. And I had these like private investigators following me around, like going to the boxing gym, like how many fights does he get into? Like, you know, threatening to like subpoena my wife who was pregnant. And it was just like fucking with my life. But I did this play that meant so much to me. And Boss was backstage every day. And 10 years later, we went and we made the movie of that play. And Boss was, he'd already, had cancer. They had given him, just a few months to live. And he had gone way past that. And John Polano, who made the movie, like really wanted Boss in the movie. And so we used Bam Bam as like in the flashbacks. And Boss, point is, he traveled across the country. He could like barely move. He was in the movie. After the movie, I went to go do the Sopranos movie. And Boss couldn't make the trip back. Like, he was really on his, like, last legs. And there was, like, a month, maybe 6 weeks, where I hadn't seen him. I was in New York making this other film. And Lauren and I, who I used to work with, we one night, it was, like, middle of the fucking night, we were like, let's drive down and go see Boss tomorrow. So we went and we saw Boss. I, like, took him to the river, did our thing. And then the next day, like, Lauren and Bam Bam went out. And, like, Boss came over to me. I was, like, sitting on this rocking chair. And, like, Boss came over to me. And he put his head, like, in my lap. And he, like, looked at me. He was, like, wagging his tail. And we had just been, like, swimming in the river. He was, like, he, like, looked at me. And then he, like, trotted off into the woods. I went upstairs to take a shower. And I was, like, oh, fuck. Like, what was he trying to tell me?
Yeah.
And I went out there. And, that was it. He had waited for me. He wanted to have that last day with me. And then he went and he died. And, I went into this yard, like, by this tree that my mom planted on the day that my son was born. Now it's grown, and I just started, like, wailing and fucking bawling, you know what I mean? But when it was done, like, seriously, Norm, like, the sky kind of parted a little bit, and I just felt so fucking grateful. I was like, I had the best dog in the world. I got to say goodbye to him. And the exact feeling it was when I came back to pick up my truck after I'd been killed off from Walking Dead and you guys had done a week without me, and I went to come say goodbye to everybody. But before saying goodbye, I like sat down on this rock. You've heard me tell this fucking story, but I sat down on this rock and I was just like watching all of you guys make this show. And like the barn was on fire and everyone's running around, there's zombies and like, the crew's doing their fucking thing. And Scott Wilson's like, like proclaiming and it like, and I went to go say goodbye. Everybody knew that I was coming to say goodbye. And I sat on that rock and I cried, man. I cried. I was like, fuck, man, this isn't mine anymore. Like, I'm not part of this anymore. That's not my family anymore. But then it, like, broke. And I was like, look at how beautiful this is. Look at how lucky I was to have done this. And, like, for the friendships and for the relationships that have totally lasted the test of time. And, man, I learned everything there. I learned how to, like, fucking work ethic. I learned how to, like, keep the family balance. I learned how to from all of you guys. All of you guys taught me like a certain different thing, and so like no matter what I do from here on in, it's like I've done so much fucking shit. Like, dude, clearly it was so good for me leaving that show when I did. Like for me personally, it was really good. Yeah. But like I will always look at that as like that was the time in my life. That's when I figured it out. Being humble and being kind and being real and being honest does fucking translate into this thing, like really fucking work, because there's nothing else like what you guys have done. And when you look at it in all the facets of your life, it's a beautiful thing to behold. And it's a beautiful thing to I've seen the ride, man.
We've both seen each other's rides.
We've both seen each other's rides, man. We've both seen each other like fuck up, and it's like I don't know, man. It's beautiful, and I think more than anything else, it's not going anywhere ever. I'm just real, which is a beautiful thing, man.
Yes, sir.
Fuck it. So that's my long ass answer to your short ass question.
I
love you. Thank you for doing this. I'm sorry it went so fucking long, man. But there's a lot
it's
I wanted
fucking
to
great.
Talk to you. But you, anybody got anything for Norman? It's like dark. All right, I
Peace.
Love you,
dude. That was great.
Thank you. Oh. You can run for like senator next.